during the Watergate era, I became fascinated by the fact that a lot of individuals who seemed to have been floating around the assassination were also involved in strange religious organizations and cult practices. And that got me fascinated in some of the same material that Jim Garrison was investigating in New Orleans. And he didn't know where to put the information at the time, back in the 1960s, and 1968 and 69. And I only gradually came to understand what he was investigating and filling in the pieces of some of the people he was looking at. And when I began to do that, it opened up a whole new world of strange persons who were floating around Lee Harvey Oswald, both in New Orleans and in Dallas, in 62 and 63.
You know, Peter, so many different theories abound about the Kennedy assassination. We just heard one, and the first time I've heard one like that before. Let's look a little bit more at the players who were involved leading up to the assassination. Anybody come to mind for you in your research?
Well, there were a number. I focused on both New Orleans and Dallas. There's two distinct groups of individuals, but they were united by a kind of common thread of interests. Perhaps the most important, the most central character in Lee Harvey Oswald's positioning at the Texas School Book Depository was the couple Michael and Ruth Payne. These were people who were living in Dallas, Texas, who had been separated a couple. And Marina Oswald, Lee Harvey's wife, moved in with Ruth Payne and was living there at the time of the assassination. So these were friends of the family, you might say. And most people have looked at Michael and Ruth Payne and have not found much beyond whatever Michael and Ruth Payne testified before the Warren Commission. But I was researching some material on the JFK Lancer database back about 5 or 6 years ago, and was startled to uncover the fact that Ruth Payne was actually the daughter-in-law of a woman called Ruth Forbes, or Ruth Forbes Payne, who was married to a man called Arthur Young. When I saw the name Arthur Young, the whole thing started to fall into place for me. I saw something that I had not really, to tell the truth, expected to see. Arthur Young was a famous New Age guru back in the 1960s. And in the 1970s, he wrote a number of books, very philosophical books about the paranormal, about cosmic consciousness and that sort of thing. And to find him in such close proximity to the Paynes was a bit unnerving. And that led me to investigate the group that's been called in other books, and including in my own, the Nine. The Nine is a group of individuals who were meeting in New England, in the woods of Maine, in a town called Camden, back in 1953. These were people with intelligence connections to American intelligence, and also represented some of America's oldest families, the Forbes, the Astors, the DuPonts. And they would meet in seances and contact a group of spiritual beings they called the Nine, or who called themselves the Nine. Now, this is amply documented. This has been written about by a man called Andrea Puharich, who was a very famous paranormal researcher in the 60s and 70s. He's blatantly written about the involvement of these individuals in these occult seances. And here we have Michael and Ruth Payne taking care of the Oswalds on the one hand, and visiting Arthur Young and his paranormal society up in Philadelphia on the other. I mean, only weeks before the assassination. This really startled me. I began to see that there was a deeper connection between the Nine, this group of paranormal researchers, if you will, who were meeting in Maine at that time, and the assassination. I was wondering, how could these people be so close to the assassination? The Nine was run by Puharich. Puharich was a medical doctor who became a major in the United States Army during the Korean War, just after the seances had taken place.
And he was well-respected as well?
He was well-respected within the military. Certainly, he was stationed at Camp Dietrich, or Fort Dietrich, and was involved in chemical biological weapons research there during the Cold War. He gave lectures to the U.S. military on the military applications of psychic phenomena, of ESP, and paranormal capabilities. He seemed to have been very well respected, and after the war and after the Cold War started to calm down, he became more famous as the man who introduced Uri Geller to the United States.
Okay, okay.
So he's the man who brought Uri Geller over, the famous psychic, as well as Peter Hurkos, who was involved in the Boston Strangler investigations, a Dutch psychic, as well as the Charles Manson murders, that sort of thing. So here's a nexus of people who are extremely involved in the occult. Arthur Young was the inventor of the Bell helicopter. He left Bell at the end of World War II to devote himself entirely, completely to the study of the paranormal. And he married Ruth Forbes. This is a member of, course, the famous Forbes family, the wealthiest, one of the wealthiest families in the country. So between Ruth Forbes and his own origins, his own background in the military-industrial complex, they started to throw a lot of money into paranormal research, into archaeological research, into all sorts of things with a kind of hidden agenda. And in the midst of all of this wanders Lee Harvey Oswald.
Now, when Oswald rolls into this picture, who approaches him? I mean, he doesn't come in with his idea on his own, does he?
No. Well, this is the other fascinating thing, and this is something that that I have to give credit to another researcher for. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But most of your listeners who have been paying a lot of attention to the Kennedy assassination books and have been reading a lot about it will have come across the name George de Morenschild. And George de Morenschild was a Russian nobleman, an emigre from Russia, who became an oil engineer, who was very involved with one of the Bush companies back in the 1930s and the 1940s. And de Morenschild was the man who introduced Lee Harvey Oswald to Ruth Payne and Michael Payne. Now, this in and of itself is not particularly startling. We know now that de Morenschild had CIA contacts. We know he had intelligence contacts. He admitted it as much, and documents have been declassified that show that he was talking to CIA people, his contacts, for a while, even about Lee Harvey Oswald. But what was startling to me was information that I just received only a few weeks ago from a professor, Larry Hapanen, of Lewis and Clark State College. He's a professor of humanities who used to work for a JFK Lancer and did a lot of Kennedy assassination research. And he informed me that de Morenschild was also involved with the Puharich Circle. And this is stunning information. Evidently, when de Morenschild committed suicide, he's one of those people who your last interviewee was talking about, that Gaetan Fonzi was going to interview concerning the assassination, and de Morenschild simply killed himself or was murdered before he could talk to Fonzi, to the House Select Committee on Assassinations.